Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining, and welcome to another edition of MedAir's Aviation Security Podcast. My name is Ryan Brockhouse, and I'm the Aviation and Maritime Security Supervisor based in our Phoenix, Arizona office. Today, I'm here with Riley Boyle, who is one of our new security specialists based in our Phoenix office as well. So, Riley, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. I'm looking forward to diving deeper into the complex and rapidly evolving topic we're discussing today.
Yeah, of course. Now, this month, we'll be focusing on the recent incidents and escalations related to the Russo-Ukraine conflict. But more specifically, the more high-profile incidents involving airspace incursions by one-way attack drones into neighboring Baltic and Eastern European states. Now, this has understandably raised major concerns by these neighboring countries and the Western-built NATO alliance as a whole over the last several weeks. But on a more industry-focused level, of course, there are clear concerns from aviation clients and operators as well. So, Riley, what exactly has been happening over the last several weeks in this area?
Thanks, Ryan. I'd be happy to break down these recent incidents. So over the last couple of months, actually, we've seen a number of these small-scale incursions, like a single drone illegally entering these aforementioned airspaces. However, on 10 September, we saw a significant escalation when 19 reported Russian Garand drones, which is the Russian name for the Iranian-developed Shahed 136 one-way attack drones, enter Polish airspace. This situation forced four airports facilities, Rzeszów, Lublin, and both Warsaw airports, including Chopin International Airport, to temporarily suspend flight operations. Polish aviation authorities were very quick to respond to this incident, issuing NOTAM restrictions during the incursions. And thankfully, no injuries were reported. And a number of these videos were released following the incident, which helped identify where some of these drones had actually landed. One of these images was used as an example by the Polish ambassador to the UN, where a house had been struck by a fallen drone. In the days following this incident, an image surfaced showing one drone reportedly wash up on a beach in Latvia, meaning one of these drones thought to have flown over Warsaw, leading to the flight restrictions seen there, potentially made it all the way to the Baltic Sea. Now, approximate drone flight paths would align with this analysis as well. And Poland actually recently came out claiming that the drone present in the incursion were equipped with extra fuel tanks to extend their range. This event led to the Polish aviation authorities to issue NOTAM D6213-25, which closed the eastern portion of the airspace bordering the Belarus and Ukrainian border to small aircraft and drones. This NOTAM is still in effect and will be in effect until 9 December. Notably, the NOTAM does not affect commercial aviation, however. In the following days, on 13 September, a similar drone incursion occurred into Romanian airspace, which led to two F-16 fighters who were patrolling the country's border with Ukraine to intercept said drone. Since the drone was operating over uninhabited territory and was assessed to pose insignificant collateral damage, those F-16s did end up engaging and intercepted the drone. No flight restrictions were imposed during the incident, but a shelter in place was given to the Tuchia County in eastern Romania as a precautionary measure. Additionally, there were restrictions made by the Latvia aviation authorities beginning on 10 September. Specific to a military exercise that lasted for more than a week. However, the Latvian authorities went out of their way to state that these restrictions were not affiliated with the drone incursions into Poland a few days earlier, and specifically was from the regularly held military exercise there. Nevertheless, there were definitely inquiries by aviation operators seeking clarification on those NOTAMs.
Okay, wow. So despite the NOTAMs with the closures in Latvian airspace, these are no doubt worrying developments. So Riley, can you discuss a little bit further about the specifics of these drones that entered the Polish and Romanian airspace that you mentioned a little bit ago? I do know that there have been an intensification of drone strikes into Ukraine by Russian forces over the past few months. So can you allude to it a little bit more?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Ryan. Now, throughout time, technological innovations have kind of shaped the dynamic of war fighting. This conflict is definitely no exception, and both Western and Eastern powers are closely monitoring this conflict to see how that battlefield is being reshaped in the modern era and how future conflicts may end up occurring. Drones have taken a major part in this conflict and will most likely continue to be a key part in conflicts moving forward. So these drones that I mentioned previously, the Russian Garand, based on the Shahed-136 drones, are just one such example of drones Russia has been deploying in the Russo-Ukraine conflict. Let's dive a little deeper, though, into these drones and their capabilities. The Garand drone are said to have had a flight ceiling of approximately 4,000 meters, which is 13,000 feet. They're said to have had a maximum range of 2,500 kilometers, which is approximately 1,600 miles. An explosive payload that can weigh between 30 to 50 kilograms, which is the equivalent of 66 to 110 pounds, and a maximum speed of about 185 kilometers per hour, which is roughly 115 miles per hour. However, these are estimates, and the exact data hasn't really been published. Russia has been steadily increasing their daily productions of such drones to the point where they can and often do launch dozens, if not hundreds of these drones per day. It's said nearly 1,000 of these drones are being produced each week in Russia.
Wow. Okay. So that's really interesting information there for sure. So now what does this mean for the near term in the region at large? So clearly, neighbors to the immediate west of Ukraine, and it should be noted that these are NATO member states, are very concerned. So should we expect incidents like these to continue or even increase in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely in the realm of possibility and something our operators really should be aware of and closely monitor in the coming months. The large drone incursion event led Poland to trigger Article 4 of the NATO Treaty, which was signed in 1949. This article is seen as a step before Article 5, which many of you are aware of, and simply stated is when one NATO country is attacked, it's seen as an attack against all NATO countries. Article 4 immediately triggers an emergency meeting to discuss next steps with its allies. And Article 4 has been invoked a total of 9 times, the first of which being in 2003 when Turkey was concerned about actions for their neighboring Iraq. The most recent invocation of Article 4 actually occurred by Estonia on September 20th. This was due to a Russian jet incursion into the airspace for approximately 12 minutes. Russia denied after the fact that the fighters had entered Estonian airspace. Now, this event alone is nothing new. Estonia has seen 4 such of these incursions into their airspace already this year. This incursion accrued more attention this time, however, considering the heightened attention around Russian airspace incursions observed over the last several weeks. Estonia's invocation of the article marked the quickest back-to-back triggering of the Article 4 in history, though. During the Estonian incursion, it was mentioned that 2 Italian fighters launched to intercept the aircraft. This was part of an effort of the NATO Baltic Air Policing Mission, which was established in 2004. NATO members are tasked with 4-month rotations patrolling regions' airspace for potential risks. So the question then is, what came out of these Article 4 meetings? NATO announced that the creation of Operation Eastern Sentry, which is modeled after the Baltic Sentry formed back in January, after Russia allegedly cut underwater internet cables in the Baltic Sea, and the Baltic Sentry patrols the water in the Baltic Sea to monitor for Russian foul play. Eastern Sentry aims at increasing aircraft and anti-air capabilities in Eastern Europe in several different nations.
Okay, that's very interesting, Riley. And as you alluded to, it is important to note that incursions, particularly from Russian aircraft into Baltic airspace, does happen fairly frequently. There is, of course, the Kaliningrad Oblast, which has a lot of Russian military bases and locations there. So we do have a tendency to see those from time to time. So it's nothing out of the ordinary, really. But do we expect those restrictions, particularly the ones that Poland has imposed, to remain in place beyond December? And then, of course, taking these events and the response by the countries to the west of Ukraine into account, what advice can we give to our clients who operate in this region or maybe simply have interest in conducting operations to this region?
Well, Poland and other Eastern European countries have been very proactive and quick to respond when these drone incursions and potential incursions occur. I assess this will probably remain to be the case over the coming months. Since these recent incidents are kind of at the top of the mind for Europe, we've seen and will most likely continue to see countries issue sudden and short-term flight restrictions for any possible drone incursions or operations that happen near their borders. A good example of this over the last week has been the flight restrictions imposed in Denmark. Restrictions have been placed for most potential drone sightings, which there have been quite a few of. We've seen reports of Denmark deploying mobile radar systems near their airports as well following these drone sightings. So the question there is, what actions can we expect when suspected drone incursions occur moving forward? This may include anything from sudden airspace restrictions, the deployment of air defense systems, and further and more routine military operations and or exercises that may result in announced airspace closures. Our advice to our clients and those in the industry would be to prepare for impromptu airspace and airport closures, to expect residual disruption after these restrictions are lifted, to continue to adhere to official directives from international aviation governing bodies like EASA and the FAA, and then to continue to adhere to international sanction-related policies. Arguably, the most important advice we can offer to our clients is to closely monitor NOTAMs in Eastern Europe and to keep up to date on alerts from MedAir when these events do arise. MedAir is closely monitoring these restrictions and will continue to update our advice when actions warrant it. If you have any questions about these situations, of course, our team is highly appraised and these issues and can provide you with advice and analysis on these matters 24/7.
Correct. Absolutely. Thanks, Riley, for this very useful information. And I think this really offers our clients and operators an important perspective that'll help them in planning flight operations during this uncertain and unfortunately tense time in the Eastern European region. So thank you very much. And that's all we have for today. Thank you to our listeners for joining us on this edition of MedAir's Aviation Security Podcast. Stay tuned for more updates as we continue to monitor global security events and their implications for aviation operators. If you enjoy the podcast, please drop a like and feel free to leave a comment on any ideas or topics you'd like to discuss on our next edition of the podcast. As always, stay safe, and we'll see you in the next month's episode.